Psalm 97 is from the book of Psalms. The Psalms are a book of praise to God. But this psalm is one of what is known as an enthronement psalm. It was sung by the people as they come to worship God. And they're proclaiming God, proclaiming that God is king. But just to set it in context, because we often fail to understand or fail to think that the people of Israel were God's chosen people, but they weren't living in a bubble. They were living amongst people from all different nations. They were surrounded by countries where there were different gods. It was a melting pot of different ideas, different things which people trusted in. And you know, for the people of Israel, it was a case that they needed to be reminded of who God was, especially as they came to worship. And that's what this psalm does. So I'm going to read Psalm 97, all 12 verses. The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him, and burneth up his enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hands of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Amen. May God indeed encourage us. May he thrill us with the truth of who he is. And may we indeed know the certainty that we have through faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, there's a story of an older woman who was taking her granddaughter to church for the first time. And the granddaughter hadn't been to church before, and she kept asking questions. Why do they sing? Why do they stand up? Why do they give money? And the grandmother was answering all these questions, and then it came to the sermon, and the minister took off his watch, and the little girl said, "Why is that man taking off his watch? What does it mean?" And the grandmother shook her head and said, "Oh dear, it doesn't mean a thing." Sorry. But you know, it's a great privilege to be able to be with you and to share with you. And I pray that our time round the Lord's Word might indeed encourage us. That might not just be an empty time that we have to endure. Because God's Word is living and powerful. And you know, that's what we need in our world, in our lives today. Because our world is a world where life can change in an instant. Where things can be turned upside down. You know, it's a case that so often in our world, we struggle to understand what's happening and why it's happening. In the Psalm, and in God's Word, we're told, the Lord reigns. Yet, when we look at the world around us, does the Lord reign? Is the Lord really in control? Does the Lord reign over the coronavirus? Is the Lord in control of our world, which is devastated by this pandemic? What happens when we undergo suffering? When we experience loss? How do we cope with all of this? How do we actually proclaim that the Lord reigns? And not just that the Lord reigns, we're told specifically that the Lord reigns, let his saints rejoice. Sorry, I'm coming undone. How can we rejoice in the face of such uncertainty? Loss, that sense of powerlessness that we feel. How do we process the suffering that our world has and that perhaps we experience in our own life? How can we rejoice in the face of such things? Because our natural response to that is not to rejoice, but rather to be devastated. Devastated because of the suffering that we're experiencing. Or to grudgingly submit. This is our lot. Let's just get on with it. Or alternatively, to actually become angry at God and shake our fists and say, why, O Lord? But God's word in our text this morning from Psalm 97 actually addresses and reorientates the worshippers in Israel, but speaks to us today about how we can face what we're going through, the upheaval in our world today. We're told, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice. That even the distant shores, in other words, those that are at a distance, those who are far away, those who do not know God, should rejoice and be glad. Why? Why? What's the basis of our rejoicing? It's knowing that God is in control. Knowing that God is enthroned in majesty and righteousness. We're told, or we're given this picture, which is painted for us, of who God is. That he is a God who's enthroned above the chaos. A God who's enthroned in majesty. And he's a God who is awesome in all his ways. We're told that his righteousness and judgments are the habitation of his throne. That's what God's reign is based upon. It's based upon his righteousness and his judgments. Now, it's one of the things that so often people in our world question. Well, life isn't fair, is it? How can we actually face a life where there doesn't seem to be, in our eyes, justice? When we see something that is unjust, something that's not right, we feel aggrieved, don't we? We want to see justice. We want to see right in our experience of the world. Yet the truth is that our world, because of sin, because of man's rebellion against God's righteousness and justice, that sin has marred this world, has destroyed what God intended for it. That this sin is what causes injustice, unrighteousness. We only have to open our eyes, don't we, and look at our world around us to see how our world has become so corrupt. How our world is filled with things which are not righteous. Things which seem to actually undermine our society, our life, our world. And we see it, most of all, in the rebelliousness of man's rejection of God. You know, for so many people, especially those who class themselves as atheists, they actually reject God. They actually accuse God, if he exists, as being unrighteous. I suppose one of the most well-known of these atheists that argue against God, that God doesn't exist, or that God isn't in control, or that God is unrighteous, is a man called Richard Dawkins. I'm sure that you've heard the name. He wrote one of his most famous books, is The God Delusion. And he actually accuses the God of the Old Testament as being arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. I won't go through what all the names that he calls God, his blasphemy, but he rants about God as being a megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capriciously malevolent bully. That's what he says about God, if God really exists. The God that is portrayed in the Old Testament. But you know, that idea of God is one which is so misconstrued, so unreal. The God of the Old Testament is the same of the God of the New Testament, the same as the God of today. He's a God who is loving and faithful, who is righteous in all his ways. A God who cares about his people. You know, if you reject God, if you see God as being that sort of character, then what is there in life? There is nothing. There is no hope, no certainty. Why? Because life is unjust. Because there is no fairness in life, in what happens. There is, as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, there is no point in life. You live, well, you're born, you live, and you die. Life is meaningless. Yet the God of eternity actually tells us different. The God of eternity is a God who is righteous in all his ways, a God who is enthroned above all things, who has all power, who demonstrates his power daily in his creation. A God who is awesome. But he's also a God who demonstrates his righteousness through his love. We're told in verse 6 how the heavens declare his righteousness and all people see his glory. How can we rejoice? We can rejoice because of who God is. Because of his character, because of his faithfulness and love. We can rejoice because idols are proved worthless. You know, the things that people so often cling on to, base their lives upon, Scripture tells us are worthless. You know, when we think of idols, so often we think of little carved statues. Or we think of something that's made of a precious metal. That's in the shape of some human form or some cross between human and animal. Or even just some animal. Yet, what is the definition of a true idol? An idol is something that takes God's rightful place. And an idol can be anything that we put our trust in. Whether that's money, whether it's our reputation, whether it's our work, whether it's our family. We make idols of lots of different things. Things which replace God. You know, in this time, with this coronavirus and the world being turned upside down, we've seen how these idols are empty, are meaningless. The things that a lot of people are putting their trust in have been stripped away. And people are struggling. How can they face life? How can they actually have hope and certainty in a world where what they trust in is no longer there? And this is a point that is made here by the psalmist. That those who put their trust in idols, who boast in what their idol can do, when it's stripped away, when they're shown to be empty and meaningless, they have nothing. Whereas for those who truly know God, who truly know who God is, they have certainty. They have certainty because they know that the God who they have trusted in is a God not just of righteousness and justice, but it's a God who loves and cares for them. A God who has accepted them. When they see God's faithful love in creation, it causes them to worship and to rejoice, to be glad. Verse 8 says, Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord. Even when things happen, things that we can't explain, things that we wouldn't choose to happen, things which are painful, we can still rejoice in the face of them. Why? Because we know that the Lord is in control. We know that even though these things happen, that God has not rejected us, God has not abandoned us. So the command, we can rejoice because we are empowered to be God's people. Verse 10, because the Lord is exalted far above the earth, above all gods, above all idols, above all that is empty and meaningless, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Why? Because God preserves the soul of his saints. He delivers them out of the hands of the wicked. You know, as we face life with all of its sadness, all of its uncertainty, we need to have that certainty that only comes through faith in God. That our life is not based upon lies or upon empty idols, but our life is based upon a knowledge of who God is, a relationship with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we have that encouragement, the encouragement of worshipping God together. The final command in verse 12 is that we are to rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. What is the holiness of God? The holiness of God is his very nature, who he is, that he is one who is set apart, one who is above the chaos, the corruption of life, of our world. He is one who is holy because of his righteousness and his justice. You know, this morning we may be going through a time of uncertainty. We may feel shaken by life, by what we face. How can we face today, tomorrow, and even eternity? It's by knowing the Lord God reigns. The Lord God who's enthroned above the heavens. The Lord God who cares for his people. Who's accepted us through faith in Christ. As we read at the beginning of our service from Revelation, that vision that was given to John of the final times, when the Lord's righteous judgments are brought to bear upon our sinful world, that his saints will stand before the throne of God and rejoice. Are we a people who can rejoice even in these tough times? Pray that for each one of us that we can, that as we face the future, we face it with faith and hope and certainty in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Just in response to